have to figure to wake up to Toucher and Rich. Oh, hey. Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If I'm a sports hub, it is Touch and Rich here with John Wallach and Brad Stevens. What vitamins do you take? Because you don't age. You never age. I'm in this place in my life where my body's just saying, I hate you, and I've aged probably 10 years within three. So.
Well, I feel it. I feel it, so I don't know if there's any I don't know if I just get at this time of the year, I probably look a lot better than I will in a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, in four months. It just if the one thing I've learned throughout this whole NBA deal is you better take care of yourself. And
sure.
Because, you know, both mentally and physically – it is a grind. It is a long year. You've been on the trips, John,
yep.
Where we get home at 3 in the morning. And, you know, my kids still get up at 6:45. They don't change their schedule
right.
for me.
Yeah.
So
no,
you better find areas and times to take care of yourself. And we work in an environment where they really prioritize that.
Well, it's like lack of sleep and road food and things like that. I mean, how tough is it? And obviously you're around athletes. So,
yeah.
You know, you're around people who also have the same interests that you do. But it's still got to be tough to not want to order like a pizza in the middle of the night.
I will say this. Yeah, sometimes, except like you say road food, like when you're traveling with us, with our chefs, with everybody else, our road food's good.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like you look forward to getting a chance to get to the team meal. So we're spoiled. But that's part of doing it. You want to travel with that kind of emphasis on being able to recover for all of the people on staff. And I appreciate working in an environment where, you know, the players' mental and physical wellness is a priority.
Well, it's a testament, I guess, to the mental wellness of you and the team that anytime you get the slightest bit upset, it becomes an internet meme because it's so rarely, it's like Halley's Comet. You never see it. So is there a secret, but is there some sort of way that you keep yourself even keeled even when the rest of the watching public of the game is losing their minds at a bad call or something like that?
You know, I don't know that there is. I lose it more than people think or talk about. I think I get that even-keeled kind of quiet person on the sideline. I think it's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
But you do try to prepare as well as you can so that you can move on to what's next. In coaching, you're always thinking about what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of liken it to you're in a situation where you make a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
You've got to go in and you know that the next game's going to be harder because there is this general desire to let your foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're always thinking about that. And I think that's just part of the task and the job. And, you know, if I was ranting and raving, I don't think I would be very effective because it's not how I think best. Mm-hmm. I need to be in a calmer place. Otherwise, I'm no good.
Okay. So more to that point, when was the last time you enjoyed a win? Because we've seen buzzer beaters and you have your arms crossed and you walk in. We've seen your team lose tough games and you cross your arms and you walk in. When was the last time you enjoyed a win?
You know, you enjoy it, but I often, you know, you go back, you sit down with the staff and you kind of kick back and you say, wow. And then you say, okay, what's next? And I think that's what you do is you enjoy and look back favorably more on seasons than wins.
Okay.
And clearly, like, the losses eat at you more than the wins are celebrated. I think that's everybody that's in sports. But you have to be able to move on from those, too. And, you know, one of the things that we've done a pretty good job of the last few years is learning and moving on so it didn't affect our next week.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important in this because it is a long season and there are a lot of obstacles coming our way.
There's a video of you spazzing out after a game at Butler, at which I think we've all seen at this point. Is that the last time you've gone that crazy in
a locker? No, and I'll tell you what, nobody likes the memes more than my 12-year-old. Like, nobody likes them more. And, you know, one time I said something I shouldn't have said and it was caught, somebody lip read it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't heard the end of that from him. So I got to, you know, the other reality is I'm a parent.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I got to go back home and listen to, A, my kids say, man, you look like an idiot. And my wife say, why are you looking like an idiot in front of them? So that's part of the great challenge of coaching, I guess. And it's funny because in Boston, I think, you know, people want me to occasionally lose my mind.
Oh, sure. Or it's embraced.
Or be crazy. But I do have a 12 and a 9-year-old that I do think about usually after the fact, unfortunately.
All right. So now the question is, how sick and tired are you of answering Gordon Hayward questions, and have you kind of resigned yourself to the fact that a whole avalanche are not only coming today but in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sick and tired of it. I think that the reality is the Kyrie and Gordon coming back is a big storyline with a team that was super fun to coach and had a great season. Did not end in that last game the way any of us wanted to end. And so we want to be better. And anytime you've got two more really good players that you add to your roster, there's excitement, there's anticipation, but there's a lot of work to do. And, I think the biggest thing is he every question that he has to answer is, well, how do you feel? How'd this feel? How'd that feel? How was the next step, the next progression? And the reality is it's about we and now. And he's going to have moments where he doesn't feel as good, and he's going to keep getting asked that.
Yeah.
But he can still add great value to winning. And that's where he has a special ability to do a bunch of things that sometimes go in a stat sheet and sometimes don't. And so we need him to just be who he is. He'll get back to feeling 100% as he does, and we'll go from there.
In your career, I think it's fair to say, have never had this pressure that's going to face you this year. I mean, there's expectations now that I know, at least with the Celtics, you've never had. It's basically finals. I mean, they're calling you guys the Kings of the East. Does that affect you in any way? Is there a different feeling going into this season than you've had in the past?
No. I think the bottom line is at Butler, we went to a Final Four. And, one of the things that I learned that year is the opponents aren't the only opponents on your schedule. Human nature is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something where you can show your true colors. And, I think that that's the challenge. Like, we have adding two new guys. We've got a lot of guys that have done a lot of good things. We were a really good defensive team and, quite frankly, not as good offensively as we needed to be. And so we have a lot to work on, both to rebuild that defense and to make sure that we don't skip steps and to become a better offensive team. And I need to make sure I do my part in that. And so, I don't think twice about the expectations, because I live in a day-to-day time frame, and it sounds cliche and it sounds kind of coachism, but I don't know that there's any other way to do it and not lose your mind.
Sure. So, well, real quick, because I know that Brad's got to leave.
Okay.
Finally, I just want to ask you, how inferior to Sean Grandy is John Wallach when he calls the games?
In all fairness to both of them, I've only heard their highlights, and they're both outstanding on highlights. Luckily, I've only gotten tossed out of one game since I've been here.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't go back and listen to the broadcast because there was only 30 seconds left.
But
one of these days, if we make Boston happy and get tossed, then I'll go back and I'll make sure I turn the radio on. But then I'll have to tell, Mike and Scal and Tommy that I didn't turn them on.
So there's, of course, then
I got to make everybody happy somehow.
Then it's a war rack there.
That's right.
All I know is that whenever he botches a line and we play the highlight, he acts just like those memes of you that your child sends you. Just throwing the fist in the air.
I was going to say, you talk about expectations. I'm sure every time he calls a game, you're listening intently for the mistake.
No, they would
we watch
never
it like the Zapruder film. Oh, we find every single one of them and go
that's
that
true.
Way.
So empowering.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, good luck this season.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks,
should be
guys.
A fun one.
All right. See you.
There you go, the mayor of Celtic Town, Wallach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, he was Mr. Air Guns.
That's right.
Everyone he saw.
No, was he like kind of the belle of the ball because Grandy wasn't there?
I didn't see Grandy anywhere. But
no,
everyone loves Wallach there. Everyone loves Wallach.
You don't think John would have realized if Grandy was there?
Like there would have been like this anger across his face. He would have been like, it's like Newman.
I don't think that John dislikes Grandy. I think that John
wants him to go away.
Would be aware. I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world for him. But if Grandy died, I think that John would be a suspect. But but I would certainly assume that he was around. Like, he would know he was around.
Yeah, I didn't see him anywhere. Once again, this place was mammoth. It was like a TV and movie production studio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was, people all around the place. I didn't even see Gorman yesterday, and he was there.
They said, let's take a TV and production studio and just make it as far away as possible.
I mean, yeah, it is kind of way the hell out
they
there.
They said, let's have a bustling TV and production studio, and pop it on about 45 miles from the city.
Well, I mean, it's not like the Celtics have a new facility they could have done it or anything.
I know. It's not like they could have shown off the new facility. That is, I don't know, in town.
Yeah, it's amazing from what I hear. I have not seen it.
I would like to have seen it.
It would have been awesome, yeah.
I would have been there with bells on.
All I know is that the one thing as a Celtics fan that you got to feel good about is that, I mean, for the last like couple of weeks, everyone's been flipping out about Kyrie Irving possibly going to the Knicks and all of this. This may just be him to do something at the beginning of the year just to kill the story or what. But he could not say any more that he is happy to be with the Celtics and that he loves the Celtics and that he sees his future with the Celtics. I mean, he said everything you need to say. And we'll actually play our interview with him yesterday where we talked to him about the Knicks, and I basically just go over all the reasons why the Knicks is an awful organization, why you should never go there, including having to sit down and listen to the owner play blues music.
Well, if you win the East, your desire to play with your buddy probably gets a little bit less. Don't forget that coming up on Thursday morning at 7:30 and 9:30, we'll have your chance to score a pair of tickets to actually a very important game to see the Patriots take on the Dolphins this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. That's Thursday morning at 7:30 and 9:30. Will other shows have tickets? That's none of my concern. We will be back, and we will have something to discuss. Maybe I'll just continue going on and on about how I had sex with my wife. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Five-time Super Bowl champions Tom Brill, Belichick, and the New England Patriots play here.
Throws it to White for the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Just like that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady rolls to his right. Pressured, moves back left. Pulls up. Pressured again. Brady goes down. Sacked at the 19-yard line.
He's got nobody to go to. Nobody.
Pulls up, throws deep downfield for Dorsett into double coverage. Picked off. Intercepted by Darius Slay. On second down and yard and a half, he's pressured from the blind side. He's sacked from the blind side. Brought down by Eli Harold.
Yeah, you can't stop Eli Harold. That line's pass rush, it's like the Purple People Eaters all over again.
That game just gets worse the more you think about it.
I don't know if you guys can conceptualize, because I don't know the last time you watched the Lions game.
I watched the entire Jets-Lions game. I saw the Jets put up 47 points on those guys. Yeah. It was a disaster, Fred.
I'm not challenging if you watch it, but I'm just saying of the decades and decades of watching them and being in Detroit after the Jets loss, that's the worst. Since I've been here in 2006 when we got here, that's the worst Patriots loss I've ever seen.
Think about that first half. Just the three straight three and outs and just the lackadaisical everything. And they couldn't get anything done. I mean, the Lions were having their way.
And it's not
rushing.
Like, it's not like Johnson was electric. I mean, he just ran through. He said it after the game.
Yep.
He's like, they're gaping holes.
Well, I think that it was Bob Soucy who said, well, I mean, Matt Patricia knew exactly where the bodies were buried on the defense. He knew exactly where to go, who to cover.
Well, I mean, it's not difficult to figure out whether or not you're Matt Patricia.
Well, here's what I do is if I can make a 4-foot lane for my running back to run through. I mean, look at those. Go back and watch. I did.
They got pushed around.
Go back and watch some of those Johnson runs.
No, I mean, yeah.
He didn't do anything.
Well, also, nobody can make a tackle. Yes. There were several times where you had three different guys like grabbing at legs.
But
and they
Johnson's
couldn't make a tackle.
5 or 6 yards across the line of scrimmage before anyone got close to him.
They're slow, and there's nothing they can do about it. Hey, and Flowers and Chung, who else were they missing on defense?
Rowe. Yeah, Eric Rowe. But which it doesn't. I don't
which
even mention him.
Now you tease us about Rowe, but he's better than McCourty.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
No, but
the other McCourty.
Jason McCourty. Right.
When Brinson was like, they were missing a ton of guys on defense, I'll give you Flowers and Chung. But if you're to beat the Lions, you need Eric Rowe.
Yeah, but then there was the other side of the ball where Tom Brady, it was very uncharacteristic after the game because it sounded like he was so frustrated with how everything had been going that he actually started calling people out.
Now, then maybe he should call himself out for not participating.
That is as fair as it gets, because
absolutely,
you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, the lack of chemistry that he has with some of these receivers, he can put directly on himself.
And by the way, Dorsett is, he's not Randy Moss, but Dorsett is a perfectly fine receiver. I mean, he's fast.
It's funny, though, because you say he's fast. I didn't see any separation down the field. He is. He's really quick. I mean, you hear, oh, he ran a 4.2 something 40. I didn't see him run by anybody.
Yeah, no one was getting over.
I mean, well, that vaunted Detroit, Levy, but outside of that, that
the
vaunted
amazing
secondary.
Lack of ability to get away from single coverage is appalling.
Dude, Tavon Wilson starts for the Lions.
I know.
And it's like one of their better defensive players.
And what's infuriating is which player was actually working. Like what, Brady to who? What was working? There was one player when they would go to him, it worked. And that was James White. Whether it was handing off or throwing, it was James White was the one guy that was working.
Once he got on the field, he was great.
And what did they do? They said, we're going to use Sony Michel. We're going to use him over here. Who, by the way, you know, whatever about the future, during Sunday's game, he stunk. And at some point, you got to move on and say, this isn't working today. So maybe we get the guy that is working more involved. And Tom Brady seemed to say the exact same thing, calling out what sounds like Josh McDaniels.
He had a great catch and some good runs there at the end. And, you know, he's just a great player for us. So you're right. I mean, he's got to be involved. And guys who can make plays, you know, those are the ones that should be involved. And James certainly one of them.
He's calling out Josh right there.
You never,
right?
ever hear Brady agree with the media and go against his own guys. That's the first time I've ever heard him do that. Was after Monday night's game.
There's a whole situation going on over there. I mean, there really is. Well, and I haven't hot take this team ever, but this is unprecedented. I mean, they can't stand each other.
I would agree.
There's something going on.
It's interesting because we've been talking off the air about which wide receiver core is worse, this one or the 2006 team overall receiver core.
2006 by
2006
far.
Is the worst, but I was covering the team back in 06, and I'm trying to remember. I mean, they took away the Deion Branch, who were, you know, one of the better receivers that the Patriots had. He held out all the way through training camp. They traded him right before the season to Seattle for a first-round pick. David Givens, who altogether not a great receiver, and he wrecked his knee and was never the same, but he was a solid number two for the Patriots the year before. So the Patriots walked into the 06 season without their top two wide receivers, and everyone was wondering, how the hell is Tom Brady going to get this done? There wasn't a time during that season, to my memory, and maybe someone who's been a longtime Patriots fan can correct me, but I was there pretty much every day. I don't ever remember Brady calling out the offensive coordinator or saying, we got to get more guys on the field, or just questioning his team at all.
Or how about
it was all a process. It was all, we're getting to know each other. You know, we've kind of been put in this situation. It is what it is. We're working through some things. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll all be on the same page or something along those lines.
How about calling out his own player? Like it seemed to do right here when he's talking about the Philip Dorsett play, where the one that ended up getting intercepted. I mean, here, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like he's calling out his own receiver.
Yeah, we had a post off the play action, and, you know, was just trying to throw it up early, and Slay got his eyes on the ball faster than Phillip, and Phillip couldn't adjust, and kind of an easy interception.
I mean, that's not on Brady, the way he's saying it. He's saying, yep, Phillip's the one who couldn't adjust.
You know what?
And Slay was able to lock in on it
Brady
before.
Threw a bad pass.
Of course
that
he did. Yes, no. Brady. Whether he's at, listen, that part almost doesn't matter. To me, it's Brady standing up there, and he is wrong, right? I agree with you. But he's still calling out his receivers.
Yes.
Him going up there and saying that, you know what? Because in his mind, the way he's saying it there in front of everyone, he's not taking the blame.
No. No, that's definitely putting it in Dorsett's lap. I agree.
And then there was the intentional,
which is not exactly the Patriot way.
No. It's there are a lot of things that are very strange from the off season all the way to now. Training camp was weird with all the wide receivers going down and the ghost of Eric Decker trying to make this team, and the whole thing was very strange. It's been a weird 2-3 months, and now the question is, now what?
Well,
is this really going to take this team down for the first time?
I read something that I completely agree with, is that when they first signed Josh Gordon, you felt, oh, well, they're taking a flyer on a guy, and if it doesn't work, big deal. I mean, we were saying it. I mean, they need him.
Yes.
Like, but that signing for that guy, how unpatriot-like is that?
It is.
They took on someone that no one wants. And that's going to be a huge key to
their
offense.
End of the season, by the end of the season, within 3 or 4 weeks, he has to make a major impact.
Yes.
John, I just want to go to Bill Belichick and say, what was your plan? Like, this offseason, what was your
plan? Well, we've had writers tell them what the plan is. We've had Jeff Howe told us what the plan was.
No, other than the draft. Other than the draft. No, like, I mean, what was your plan?
Signing Jordan Matthews, signing all these wide receivers to try. They threw numbers at the problem, and all the wide receivers crapped out for one reason or another.
Then you get mediocre talent, and even though there's a lot of it, it's still mediocre talent.
You're telling me what the plan was. They assumed Edelman.
Amendola was a stud with Tom Brady.
I understand.
He said it was
the third
down machine.
You're asking what the plan was? The plan was Amendola. Edelman was going to be here the first 4 weeks of the season.
Right, but I will say this about Amendola, and I understand he got more money from Miami than he would have gotten here, but I'm not sure why.
You're saying that the Patriots should have matched him.
I'm saying that you didn't need to lose all three of them.
Patriots did what they always do, and they did it with Wes Welker at the end of his run here.
You put a number
to the player, and if you exceed that number, then forget it. We're moving on. We can find someone else.
But I don't lose three very important skill position players at once, and then I don't bench my cornerback during the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a bunch of things going on.
If
I have a 41-year-old quarterback and I'm just going to do a cattle call and bring in a bunch of receivers.
They've done it ever since Belichick's been the head coach. It's always worked for him. They've always said goodbye to players. They let Ty Law go. I mean, they let, not Ty Law go. They let Darrell Revis go, which was, what are you doing? How can you not re-sign him? Originally, when they signed that 2-year contract,
they had depth, but the
Patriot way has always been all players are replaceable, and you know what? It has never hurt them.
Okay,
and
but I'll tell you this:
this year might be the year that it does.
If you have to be able to draft in order to do that, and that is football 101.
The
if you
accumulation
have to hit
of all of this, maybe this is the year it catches up with them. But you guys know this: the Patriots have always been willing to move on from anybody. Anybody, with the exception of Tom Brady, they've been willing to move on from anyone, including Rob Gronkowski. Anybody is replaceable. And they took that. That was their theory when they started looking at wide receivers for this year. That was their theory when they started looking at linebackers for this year.
Why don't you keep Cooks for a year?
And you know what? It didn't happen.
Why don't you keep Cooks for a year? I mean, you lost the Super Bowl in a shootout. Why don't you keep Cooks for the year? Why do you got to trade him?
Because they didn't want to pay him $8 million because they knew he was entering the final year of his deal and wanted to get something for him.
Yeah, but I have a 41-year-old quarterback and no other options at receiver. I mean, this is who I want.
Are you doubting that what I'm saying isn't true?
I know what you're saying is true. It's just he screwed up.
Yes. And you know what? He screwed up in the past, too. He's made some really strange decisions personnel-wise. I mean, who remembers Monty Beisel, who was supposed to be a linebacker that did things? And he was atrocious. Adalys Thomas was a horrendous free agent signing.
Yeah.
And it hasn't hurt them. It's never hurt them. They've always been in the NFL's Final Four. How many straight AFC championship games has this team been in? It's never hurt them. Maybe this is finally the year that it does.
Well, if they lose to Miami.
Well, this game, it's amazing that a week four game can be this huge. It really is. I mean, you get down three games to the AFC East. How do you get back out of that hole? I mean, listen, there are chances that Miami could implode because
they do that.
But
Dolphins
still,
fans are aware.
What have I always said about Tannehill?
I still don't think he can carry.
You said top 10 quarterback. I will never go there.
He's a top 5 quarterback.
Okay.
Because Aaron Rodgers, Tannehill.
Right.
All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
Oh, when Tiger Woods is winning tournaments, the TV ratings go through the roof. On top of that, we found out that there's an NBA star with one of the weirdest laughs around, and you can rent a rock star to come to your wedding. We will have how much and what rock star?
Hey, yeah, this is what we eat that sandwich.
You are not far off.
What?
Not far off.
Oh, I used to sneak into them. Oh, shrimp.
Yes. Eddie Money. I wonder how much it would take for Eddie Money to go to a wedding.
It depends how much I'm shaking.
Okay, all right.
Oh, look at all these half-drink drinks.
You just, like, line up a bunch of drinks, like, down the street?
No. I go into the wedding when everyone's dancing.
Oh, I thought you were moving up and down and all around.
Eh?
I thought the actual song. That's my mistake. I thought that's what you were talking about.
You ever taken a dump on the side of a building?
Like out the window?
Nah, on the street.
No, I haven't.
Welcome to my world.
Okay, well, thank you.
Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you know you can, they're auctioning off.
Real quick, the stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
You can get Creed's stapler for $125, Creed's computer monitor for $125.
Like the band?
No, the character Creed on The Office.
Oh, The Office. Okay, I want.
They're auctioning off all this stuff.
I would like Scott Stapp's stapler.
This is the stapler I used to put myself in a Jesus pose.
This is the cord that made me levitate in front of the crowd in the Higher video as if I was the King of Kings.
You think there was a cord involved?
You can get Creed's box of paper for $100, the mug when Creed was briefly the boss for $300. Creed's framed 60 certificate for $250, and you can get Creed's actual desk for only $125.
Really? That, wow. And is it just like, is that a price where it starts? Is this an auction, or is it just a buy now thing?
It's a buy now thing.
Wow. Well, those must be purchased by now.
You can get the actual Dunder Mifflin reception desk, a door, Michael's neon St. Pauli girl sign. From that episode, the dinner party.
Oh, the dinner party. Okay, so I rewatched a couple episodes of The Office. There was that ranker that came out where they ranked the best episodes of television over the last decade, and I watched the dinner party one, but which got me to watch Diversity Day, which got me to watch. Oh, what was the one? The one where he was on Fundle Bundle, where the little kids show. And it was like really depressing, and it was like, I want to have 100 kids so I can have 100 friends, and no one can say no to being my friends. And the puppet goes, yeah, so yes, that show is genius, and it really, I don't know if I'd want to own anything. Like, there's no prop from that show I'd want to own.
No,
it was one thing that stands out as being, wow, that would be great to show all of my friends and put in the corner. We just collect dust. But by the way, a band that has been approached several times about doing the Super Bowl halftime show. As a matter of fact, if they would have announced that this band was going to play the Super Bowl halftime show, I would have been like, well, I'm not surprised. And why they haven't done it yet is actually kind of a shock, is the Foo Fighters.
They've done everything else.
Well, I mean, it's just they're the rock band. Like, when everyone's like, we need a rock band, it's Foo Fighters. Like, every award show, every kind of documentary where they need to talk to a guy who's in a rock band, it's Dave Grohl.
And Dave Grohl, in fairness, will do any documentary. He did the Descendants documentary.
He did one about, like, Tower Records. Like, he's done, like, a bunch of, like...
Yeah, that was weird. Tom Hanks' kid did that one.
Oh, Colin Hanks?
Yeah.
Well, Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins, they were doing a radio interview, and the subject was brought up. He said, quote, I've had multiple conversations over the years with the organizers, and they say, we want to have a rock and roll band. Do you think you could do it? Do you think you could do a stadium? And Grohl said, I was like, yeah, man, we do it all the time. We're like, oh, my God, I think we're going to do the Super Bowl. Then it'll be like Madonna or Katy Perry or somebody like that. So after having come so close on several occasions, Dave Grohl might have actually, like, sunk any future chances when he accidentally talked to the wrong person one night when he was drunk. He said, quote, I actually got really hammered at this party in France once and got to meet the dude that does the Super Bowl thing. And I was like, I don't even want to do the Super Bowl. I used to want to do it. Now I don't want to do it anymore. So now things have not been official, but Maroon 5 is apparently the one's going to be doing it.
Yeah, the 5, baby. Not the 3, the 2, the 1, but the 5.
So Taylor Hawkins actually is now a little concerned about playing the Super Bowl. He said, not to be negative on Maroon 5, but it always seems to be the final chapter in your career to do the Super Bowl halftime show. And Dave Grohl agreed. He goes, yeah, I don't know if it's jumping the shark. I don't know. I think we're just trying to come up with excuses why we haven't done it. So it's not like they're ready, willing, and able, but instead they went with the 5.
Well, listen, if you want to get the Moo 5, you get him out there post-haste. If he's not too busy rocking it on The Voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, listen, Maroon 5 has like a zillion hits. They're going to
be very
safe.
They got a million classics.
Do you remember when we had Brian Scalabrine on the morning after he went to a Maroon 5 show? And I think he actually was trying to spin it like it was like he was at like some super cool indie show. We were like, dude, you're at Maroon 5.
Yeah.
That's like a boy band.
I dare you, when they play moves like Jagger, that you're not out of your seat going dancing like no one's watching.
Well, Tiger Woods means insane TV ratings. Apparently, NBC says overnight TV ratings for Tiger Woods' first PGA Tour win in 5 years was up 206% from last year's final round. It was the highest rated PGA Tour telecast of 2018. As a matter of fact, more people were watching Tiger when he won on Sunday than any amount of people watching at a given time for the British Open or the U.S. Open all year.
So, I stopped watching football, and I watched the last three holes.
Of course.
I wanted to see it, and I'm glad I did. That scene on 18, it was amazing.
Was it what was the one he got really close in the final nine holes this year? Like the major.
Yeah, he kicked away a lead. He had the lead. Was it the Open? It might have been the Open.
It wasn't the Masters. I think it might have been the Open. They did that. But
the PGA, something like that.
Okay, but I tuned in. I watched it until he ended like barfing on his shoes, I think, with a couple holes left. And then, of course, I turned it off. Kawhi Leonard is an interesting gentleman. One thing that we learned about him is that he has a very strange laugh. Somebody at Media Day asked him one of these strange questions about, hey, tell us a bit about your life. And Kawhi Leonard responded like this.
A lot of people up here don't know much about you. How would you describe yourself?
By the way, this sounds like the offensive line coach from Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the way he talks.
A lot of people up here don't know much about you. How would you describe yourself, and what would you like people to know about you?
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. It's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
What was that? That is a...
He humiliated me.
Oh, boy. The offensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns.
Kawhi, Jeff Drake. Fun of me. Now I'm gonna eat five Coaster's cakes. Eating away my feelings is the way that I like to be. Out of my way, I'm gonna eat on the toilet. Frosting and get in the cake. Frosting and get in the cake. I hide them in a place in the toilet that doesn't get dirty. I have food hanging around all the way. Please let me eat this ham.
What?
I got a full ham in my shorts. I'm gonna eat. Please give me a revolver so I can stick it in my mouth.
Well, that turned dark all of a sudden.
Oh,
that turned really dark.
All right.
That sounds like he went to a very sad and dark place. Yeah. Yeah, that actually isn't like the world's funniest thing there, Kawhi Leonard. I don't know why you would laugh like that. But what I do know is that whether you consider this sad or not, there is a certain guitar hero that for $6,000 will participate in your wedding, that being Ace Frehley.
Oh, boy.
Ace Frehley of Kiss.
For $600?
$6,000.
Oh, $6,000.
You know what?
You got to do it.
If you're getting married and you got all your, like, guys in your wedding party to pitch in to have Ace Frehley.
Dude, I paid $10,000 to have the Toasters play my wedding.
would you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But I'd take $5,000 off for his bar tab.
Oh, hang on. They're saying he won't come to your place. You have to go to Vegas.
Oh.
The Ace Frehley wedding experience is what they're calling it. It's offered at the Kiss Rock and Roll Chapel in Las Vegas. Of course they have a rock and roll chapel. And it's tied in with Kiss Mini Golf.
The Ace Frehley experience is him downing a bottle of bourbon and complaining about Gene.
Right. And how come I didn't get no royalties? Celebrate the release of Ace Frehley's new album, Spaceman, with Ace's first ever appearance at Kiss Mini Golf Las Vegas, reads a statement on the Mini Golf website. Every word of this is just getting sadder than the next. Ace will appear at Kiss Mini Golf on October 27th to 28th. Q&A, photo, and autograph options are on sale now, and special Ace Frehley event merchandise will be on sale all weekend. Also,
how much money can you make off a mini golf course? Like, really? Like
$6 at a time.
In Vegas, too. Well, at least there's no options for entertainment in Vegas.
Like, seriously, like, even if you had the most popular putt-putt course in the world,
How much money are you making off that?
I guess if you like had one that was like constantly like one of these places down at the Cape or whatever. So for 5 months out of the year, you're killing it. It's like a vacation town. Like I can see you have to spend a couple million to start it. And then what's the overhead on that?
Once you
build it, what's the overhead in a putt-putt course?
I don't think it costs $1 million to build a putt-putt course, but say it's
I guarantee you, one with a pirate skull head that you walk through and everything, that's got to be more than $1 million. I mean, you got like super cool, like tiki torches that flame and a pirate ship.
That place off of Route 9. That's
they have a putt-putt place off. No. That's like the old Revolutionary War one.
Yeah, that's the home course. That was all right, baby.
That one's all right.
That's
you got a handicap
bucks.
On that course.
That's $8 for adults, $6 for kids.
Yeah, that place doesn't suck. It says Ace is your best man, and or Ace will give away the bride and walk her down the aisle. Use of the Kiss Wedding Chapel for the ceremony. A professional photographer and complete photo session is included. We will Facebook Live on Ace's Facebook. Well, then the world will see it. The Kiss Wedding Chapel, so your friends and family can watch your ceremony live from the comfort of their homes.
Right, because it did not come. Yeah, that's the Ace drinks and cries.
So just call it.
Ace looks in several mirrors as they smash.
Ace forgets what he was doing there in the first place.
Yeah. Ace drives his car through the chapel.
God, that was the best when you and I saw them in concert. And Ace went up to go sing a song that was like 2000 Man. And literally in the second line, he forgot the words.
No, he couldn't even get the words. And Paul had to stand there like next
Paul
to him.
Paul and Gene both going up. And he just put his arms like, well, I don't know what I'm doing.
He sat down in between songs.
He sat down and just like sipped on a soda.
Oh, yes. Big soda. 100 proof soda.
Someone was saying, who's on the case when it comes to this wedding?
Ace is on the case.
Yes, he is.